Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost. Here we
go now. Well, Curtis, look who decided to join us again.
Yeah.
Michael Bumpus back from a celebrity golf tournament and a little vacay. How was the golf tournament, buddy?
It was good. So I played behind Tyler Lockett and Quandre Diggs.
Yeah, who were they even?
You know, those guys.
Yeah, nobody. And
they weren't in your crew.
They were the opening act.
Group in front. And kids are asking for autographs. And I'm like, kid, you weren't even alive when I played. And I'm signing after Tyler Lockett, and we both wore number 16. So I start writing number 16 next to my name. I'm like, this kid's going to be like, he's lying. He's not Tyler Lockett. So I told Lockett, I go, hey, man, I just start writing 16.
Did you feel like you were maybe devaluing his autograph?
I did.
Where it's good.
This isn't going to be worth as much, but you know what? I'm putting my name on it anyway.
It's your world. And I told Tyler, I go, I had to chill, man. He started laughing. It was all fun, though.
Oh, God. I like the idea, though, of a kid instead actually thinking that, like, Tyler Lockett. Like, I just got two signatures from Tyler Lockett.
Right.
Like, isn't that insane? That's crazy. This is worth twice as much. Well, we're glad that you had fun. We did miss you. We missed you dearly.
Miss you guys too.
And there was quite a bit that happened. I mean, not any major, you know, earth shattering news. But we did have the Mariners have a nice little series against the Yankees, and then come out and flounder against the Angels, split that series. And we were hoping that they'd be able to bounce back against the Yankees again. Oh, guys, remember when it was fun to take on the Yankees? And unfortunately, it was not. It was not. Curtis, yesterday, Bump, we were back in studio, and he got a ton of flack, a ton of hate.
I got the people riled up.
You got them going?
I got them going.
Bump, the Mac and Jack's text line was pouncing on Curtis Rogers.
Hashtag calm down Curtis
was trending on the Mac and Jack's
globally,
text line.
I think it was.
Globally, certainly, but most definitely on the Mac and Jack's text line yesterday morning from people saying, Curtis.
Your concerns about the Mariners' offense are unfounded.
They're unfounded. They're misplaced. You are nothing but a negative Nancy, a negative Nelly, and you need to calm down. And
I did not calm down.
Curtis did not calm down.
I took that as a challenge.
Unfortunately, the Mariners' bats did continue to stay calm.
Look, am I going to parade around like a peacock this morning and tell you I was right all along yesterday?
Yes.
Yes, I will. But am I happy about it? No, I'm not. Because you want this offense to perform at a level that you know they're capable of doing. And at one point last night, Mitch Haniger was responsible for, 75% of the Mariners' hits. He had three, and the team had four. The only other hit to that point was Cal Raleigh's solo home run. I mean, look, I feel bad that I was right, but
do you?
I was right.
No, I don't think you feel bad at all.
No, I
think
don't.
That you didn't want to be right, but you don't feel bad that you were right.
Yeah, exactly.
We are going to have the Scott Service show today. It's the Dugout from 1 to 2 later today, so pretty Mariners heavy show. We are going to get to the Seahawks. We've got there was an official depth chart released. Now, take it with a grain of salt. It's the initial depth chart ahead of this weekend's game, preseason game against the Steelers. But plenty to talk about there. But we are going pretty Mariners heavy to start the show because there's plenty to talk about here. Let's go to Scott Service, speaking of, who will be joining us later today. This is what he had to say last night. This is him on Logan.
Not our night, I guess, is the best way to start on this one. Obviously, they were on Logan early on, jumping on him early in the first inning. You know, Donaldson was on it all night. And Donaldson swung the bat well against Logan over in New York. But I thought Logan out of the chute, his stuff was really good. You know, the fastball had good life or whatever. It's a really good lineup over there. You got to make pitches, and you certainly got to pitch to both sides of the plate. They got some balls out over the plate that hurt.
Logan gave up 10 hits, 7 earned runs, walked once, struck out two, including giving up a home run through 4 innings pitched yesterday. Drops his record on the season to 10-5.
Yeah, Logan, I felt bad for Logan, but you also have to realize these are the New York Yankees. Yes, you had success against them, what, a couple weeks ago or a week ago? But it's not likely that they continue to play the way they had. I believe coming into this game, they're on a five-game losing streak, the longest of the season. When you have the lineup that they have, they're going to have days like they did the other night. Unfortunately, it was against us and our guy, Logan Gilbert.
This is what I love. Wow, they lost to the best team in baseball. Who could have predicted that? Here's the problem. Yesterday, Curtis and I did. And that's part of the issue, is yesterday we were saying, y'all, here's the problem, is that we're out here talking about how the Mariners offense needs a little help and how they're a wild card team. And people were like, well, they just took 2 or 3 against the Yankees. So last time I checked, they just won a series against the best team in baseball. They're pretty solid. And I was like, guys, I don't know how to tell you this, but the cream of the crop in MLB right now, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Astros, right now, the Mets, the Braves, really solid. All of those teams are better than the Mariners. So what separates the Mariners from that? How do they get to that? Some of it's going to be unattainable. The Mariners will never have a payroll like the Yankees. They will never have a payroll like the Dodgers, but the Braves don't, right? Like, there are other teams that have succeeded that don't. So what does separate them? Is it bats that perform? Is it a great, rotation? I think they have a great rotation, even though there's been some concern about Logan Gilbert of late. Marco hasn't been stellar of late. Robbie Ray has been struggling a bit of late. But we were talking about, how do they get over that hump? How do they take that next step? And I don't know. Of course, now that they dropped this game to the Yankees, people are like, well, what did you expect? Well, guys, Not a win. I got to be totally honest. I did not expect them to win this series, and I don't think they're going to win this series. But the question isn't whether they should. The question is, well, how do they get to a spot where they do?
You mentioned it. You got to have the payroll that these other clubs have. And then you mentioned the Atlanta Braves. They don't have that payroll, but what they do have are bats that are hot. And it seems like we haven't had bats that were hot in a while. And I look at the schedule. It wasn't too long ago, but when you have a performance like you have against the Yankees, you tend to focus on what has happened recently.
Yeah.
And then you're reminded that there are levels to this. There are the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Astros. I agree with you. I think they have a pretty good rotation right now, but they just need those bats to get going. They need to get healthy. Mm-hmm. And, Haniger's going to save the day, right? That's what everyone's saying. Haniger's back. He's going to save the day. He did have a bomb, but you need more than just that. You need Julio to be healthy. You need Demo out there. You need Haggerty to continue to do what he's doing. You need Suarez to drive runs in. We haven't seen a lot from Carlos Santana lately. You know what I'm saying? I always go back to what was happening during that 14-game win streak. Yes, they were playing teams that were not very good. They took care of business there. But then you go to New York and you beat the Yankees. And how do you do it? It's with pitching and it's with those bats. Bats got to stay hot.
We'll be able to see Luis Castillo today, who's had much better success against the Yankees in their last time facing them. What I'll say, and Curtis, you can sound off about this too, because this is what we were talking about yesterday, bringing Bump into this conversation. You were saying, look, the Mariners are a wild card team. They have the talent to be a wild card team. They're currently 1.5 ahead of Cleveland, 1 ahead of Baltimore. I believe that's what it is. It might be flipped, but Cleveland and Baltimore behind them by no more than 1.5 games. So you've got 2 games remaining. By the way, the Guardians taking on the Tigers for 7 games across 2 series here. So you're not the only one, Mariners, with a pretty nice schedule here. You've got to be able to stay afloat. The good news is your schedule lightens up. After taking on the Astros and the Yankees for 2 series apiece, you're going to be able to take on some ball clubs who are struggling to stay above 500. So that's the good news. The bad news is you aren't the only one with an easy schedule. Cleveland right behind you is going to have a nice little schedule. And you have to stay afloat. You have to find a way to keep getting it done. And unfortunately, you've run into some health issues. And Curtis, I like the way that you said it's kind of a conversation about this season and next. One is this year they can be a wild card team. How do you stay a wild card team? That's holding them accountable, right? You're a wild card team. How do you stay that? But the hardest thing to do in baseball, you said, is getting from being a wild card to a real contender.
Yeah, and it's going to take a lot more than just running it back with these guys next year. You're going to have to add if you want to be at the level of what the Yankees and what the Astros are and of what the Braves and the Mets and all these teams that are really, really good right now. And, look, when the rebuild here in Seattle started, everybody looked at 2022 and 2023 and they're like, oh, the Astros window is going to close at that point. The Mariners are going to be at the top of the division, no doubt about it. Like, this is going to be the Mariners' time. But I think we all kind of forgot that, like, the Astros are going to do their best to keep that thing going. The Yankees will continue to field good teams. The league was not going to lay down for the Mariners. Mariners got to be proactive. They can't just let, like, playoff appearances come to them. They've got to go out and chase them. They got to go out and do everything possible to rid themselves of the randomness of being a wild card team year in and year out. I mean, wouldn't it feel so much nicer to be leading the American League West by 10 games rather than by trailing it right now by 10 games? You wouldn't even have to worry about the wild card round. You wouldn't have to worry about playing a road playoff game to start the playoffs. Like, you could be just kicking back over the season's final 2 months, getting your rotation in order for the playoffs. But now, I mean, the Mariners' rotation, there's a lot of question marks that have popped up over the last couple weeks, even after the addition of Luis Castillo.
The part that, I guess, keeps me optimistic is that I see some pieces here, right? I see Luis Castillo.
For sure.
I see Ty France. I see Julio. I see Robbie Ray. So, yeah, the rich keep getting richer, and you got to try to keep up with that. Can the Mariners do it? We'll see. Is ownership capable of doing it? I think they are capable of doing it, and I think I'm hoping this year entices them to be even more aggressive when it comes to next year. I love what you said, Curtis. They are a wild card team. That's how you got to think about this team. They're not going to win the division, right? And you're not going to pass the Astros unless something catastrophic happens. I just don't see that going down. So let's start understanding that when you do get wins against the Yankees, you celebrate the heck out of that because you're not supposed to win that game. When you do lose against the Yankees, you say, all right, you tip your cap. That was a better team. The focus now is getting through this series and going on a run for the rest of the season because you got the A's, you got the Royals. I mean, these are series that you should win. So let's get through this, all right? It's going to be okay.
Doesn't part of it make you angry?
What part?
There's part of it that – part of me that looks at – look, the it's hard to compete with big markets that spend. In fact, because they spend, they win, right? I'm never going to say spend like the Dodgers, spend like the Yankees. For that matter, spend like Steve Cohen in the Mets. It's just not going to happen. Those are huge markets that are always going to dominate spending. But, man, watching Houston develop its internal talent, make really prime trades, and bring in guys that have helped them get to a World Series, Justin Verlander, maybe the best example. But Houston didn't necessarily do it by just going out and spending just like the Yankees did. They are one of the top payrolls in baseball, but they've also done it by just doing everything right. And so it's like what makes me upset and what makes me mad is knowing that the Mariners are good enough to be a wild card team, but knowing that the market size and the opportunities are out there for them to be even better and to be even more aggressive. And I'm going to celebrate like heck any win against the Yankees
for
this
sure.
year. And I'm going to celebrate like heck any appearance in the postseason, even if they are swept in the wild card. I won't care. That being said, then what?
Isn't that what they're doing? They have developed a farm system.
Just pointed out, Lewis, part of your farm system. He's probably going to be demoted. He's struggling. Jared Kelnick,
wasn't he rookie of the year though?
He was. Like,
He's injured right now.
But that's the thing. Is he going to bounce back? Kyle Lewis is one of the easiest guys to root for. But can you really point to your farm system anymore? Point to anyone outside of Julio and Cal Raleigh and say that guy's now the nucleus
of
the World Series.
I'm not saying that their farm system is good to go. I'm saying that at one point, weren't we all raving about their farm system, saying how great they were? If it wasn't for their farm system, they wouldn't have Luis Castillo right now.
Yeah, life comes at you fast. Where's the development?
The development is coming, all right? Well, all I'm saying is that they are who they are right now. I get it. Like, you can't be frustrated. You're supposed to be mad. Oh, we're supposed to be winning. But it's almost like as soon as something bad happens, you lose to the Yankees, and everyone's like, oh, my God, the farm system, this, that, and the third. You got to understand. They're working with what they have right now. They're working with what they have.
You're not wrong.
You just traded three or four guys for Luis Castillo. Like, nothing before that trade deadline, then I'd be concerned. I still am concerned, but they are who they are. They are who they are. Management is who they are. I'm just hoping that because of the success they've had this year, because of the struggles that they're going through, that they're going to be more aggressive eventually after this is all said
and done. From the 815, tell her, my name is Stacy, to calm down. The farm system is gold. You calm down, bro. I want to see this team in the World Series.
It's not going to happen this year, though.
I want to see this team in the playoffs. It's been 21 years.
Oh, just have some patience, Stacey.
21 years. God. 21 years. You want me to calm down? Why don't you get fired up? I don't know what to tell you. If you're not getting fired up, if you're not getting mad, what's it going to take, 40 years?
I just don't know what you expect them to do right now.
What's it going to take for you, bro?
What do you expect them to do at this
point?
You
can simultaneously do two things. Number one, you can be very excited for every win your team gets. If this team takes one of three against the Yankees, I'm still going to feel excited. No matter what, I root for this team. I root for the guys on this team, many of whom, including the manager, Scott Servais, in my opinion, are very easy people to root for. And not only that, but I root for Tucker, of course. I want nothing but the best for Tucker, the Mariners' dog. But that being said, you are good enough to be a World Series, or you are good enough to be a wild card team. So let's be a wild card team. But then what?
Just focus on being a wild card team right now.
Sure, but
it's not all going to happen right now. But then
it's not all going to happen right now.
It sounds like you're asking for instant results right now. I get it. 21 years. I feel you guys. I'm with you on that. But at this point of the season, what is there left to do? You have to ride with what you have. You have to hope guys get healthy. You got to hope Julio comes back. You got to hope the starting rotation gets going. Now, before the trade deadline, I'm with you. I'll be standing at the top of the mountain with you. Let's do this. Let's make all these changes. But there's nothing you can do right now.
No, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do right now. There's nothing you can do right now. But I don't want to... it is hard for me to watch this season and not in the back of my mind have this feeling of like, hey, this playoff run, that's going to be really fun. But I'm still thinking ahead. I'm thinking to 2023. I'm thinking to 2024. It's hard for me not to. It's hard for me not to watch the Yankees when they leave town and think, man, that's fun. They got
must
an AL
nice.
MVP. Must be nice. Watch the Astros when the Mariners leave Minute Maid. Must be nice. That must be pretty sweet.
Do you see a world where the Mariners are the Yankees, though?
Like, do you see a world where the Mariners
can be the Braves? You can't see
the
Yankees leave and say that they're the Yankees.
Sure. But do you see a world where the Mariners can be the Braves? Where the Mariners can be 12th in spending instead of 21st?
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, then where's that world? I'd like to live in that world. I'd like to live in it.
Yeah, we might live in it next year. But you know what? Next year is next year, and this year is this year. So get healthy and just hope they get hot. Let's go.
I guess. I'm fine. All right. Curtis is like, can we keep moving? Can we just, guys, it's been a tough week for me.
Clearly.
I've been snapping every morning. Not snapping like snippety. I mean, like walked in just going, like, I'm done.
You've got stuff
I'm
on
done.
Your mind.
All right. Let's get to Headline Rewrite.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrite.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
Headline number one, the Big Ten is expected to no longer have games on ESPN. That's with college football and basketball with their new media rights deal. What's the real headline?
Hey, Pac-12, don't blow it.
You got to be seen, Pac-12. This is your moment right now.
Come on, man.
There's a window for you to jump through. Please, you should be at Bristol, Connecticut right now talking to whoever you got to talk to, sending emails, writing texts, whatever you have to do just to make yourself relevant and in this conversation. Please get these games on ESPN.
Headline Rewrites.
Headline number two. In a letter written for Vogue magazine, Serena Williams strongly hints that she will retire from tennis following this year's U.S. Open. What's the real headline?
Not included. She's actually leaving to join Amazon Prime's Thursday Night Football coverage. They're expanding.
I think everybody gets an invite to that.
Everyone's invited. I'm shocked that we weren't. It's become either are you joining the LIV Golf Tour or are you joining Amazon Prime's football coverage? It's one of the two. Anytime anyone's retiring, it's like, okay, well, what's next?
Yeah. And Serena, man, been watching her whole career, 23 majors? She has a winning percentage of 84%. 84% of the time she's on the court, she's going to win. And I was talking to Rogers at the Sports Pitch. She won a major when she was pregnant. Like, how crazy is that? How strong is Serena Williams?
I'm serious. She does not get enough credit for all the phenomenal things that she's done. Like, it's just... Oh my God! Competing in general while pregnant, which first of all, I've never been carrying child, but every woman I know who has talked about just how exhausted you are at all times.
And
obviously,
how comfortable
pregnancy
you
is
are.
Different for everyone, but how exhausted, how uncomfortable, and she won while doing all of that. Man, what are we? Come on, man.
She's a beast, man. And, I mean, she's into fashion as well. I mean,
she crushes it.
What was her Netflix special? King Richard? Is that what it's called?
No, the HBO movie, which Will Smith won Best Actor for.
And then slapped Chris Rock across the face.
Opposite order. Slapped Chris Rock across the face, stayed in the venue, and then was given an Academy Award to which he was willing to accept. Honestly, like, that's one of the... I don't want to say that violence is the best thing to happen for someone's career, but everyone was talking about Chris Rock a lot more after he was slapped across the face.
Serena's husband, I believe, is the founder of Reddit.
Like, really?
This guy.
Yeah, Alex... Do we say O'Funyan? Let's just make up names. Yeah. It's Alex O'Funyan, I'm pretty sure, is...
He's well accomplished in his own right, so... Yeah. I mean, I think they'll be fine post her playing career.
Headline Rewrites.
Headline number three. There was this story yesterday about Kevin Durant demanding Steve Nash and GM Sean Marks get fired from their jobs in Brooklyn. Well, following that, team owner Joe Tsai tweeted his support for the Nets front office. What's the real headline?
To which Durant said, fine, but I want two Christmases. It's a joke for all the divorced kids out there.
I'm a divorced kid, Stacey. That hurt my heart right there. No, but KD, man, the older he gets, the grumpier he gets. I don't understand it. I get that you want – he's the leader in this organization. He wants things to change, but do things privately. You don't have to be up front and let the public know everything that you're thinking. Go behind closed doors, talk to you need to talk to, and see if you can get things done. End of the day, man, you just got to win. And he ain't done that without Curry.
Children passed Stacey by, LOL. Y'all, I'm not really 56.
I like that.
Dude, the text line tears me apart every single day.
I like that you say your age on this show probably like once a week or so, and yet people will just blow right by and be like, Stacey is a 64-year-old. I mean, what's it like collecting Medicare and also
honestly,
still
though,
working?
The text line kills it. Like, half the time it's really funny. Actually, more than half the time. People got jokes, man. Mac and Jack's text line, 206-421-3776. So here's the deal. We have we are still talking Seahawks today. We're going pretty Mariners heavy first hour and then last hour of the show, just so you guys kind of know how to plan. From 1 to 2, it's the Dugout. Technically, it's a Mariners show. We're starting with the Scott Service show. We're going to have Rick Riz, all kinds of good stuff. And then before we get to any of that, though, at 10:30, which is next, we're bringing on Brandon Gustafson of SeattleSports.com to talk about just like how this team can right the ship, right? Get past the Yankees, but then what? How does the offense get right? That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Brandon.
Stacy.
Brandon Gustafson's here. Michael Bumpus.
You don't know
what
you're about to get into, BG.
I'm worried. I'm a little worried, not going
to
lie.
Curtis is already laughing. Curtis almost had to use the dump button on me earlier today.
Stacy got very fired up.
I just want to go to World Series.
Yeah. Don't we all?
Look, oh boy. I've been a very fired up this morning. I'm tired. Man, okay. I'm just... I think the word I'm looking for is exasperated. I need you to tell me, Brandon, and this is a very easy question, the easiest one you're going to have to answer, how the Mariners can get to the playoffs.
Okay.
B is how do they fix everything that's wrong with them? So I'll just let you roll with that for a minute, and then Bump will ask the next question.
Oh, my gosh. They can make it to the playoffs by, honestly,
are you
playing...
scared, Brandon?
Am I? Of you? A little bit. No. No, I think they can make it to the playoffs by playing just barely above 500 ball the rest of the way. And it's something we've talked about. I've posted it online a number of times. I know people are tired of hearing about it because they have not been as good against some of these winning teams of late. The schedule really works in their favor. Still some games against Texas and Oakland. They've owned both of those two teams. Yeah. Really, I mean, after this Yankee series, I think they have 15 games left against teams above 500. 7 of those are against Cleveland. That's going to be really big. Cleveland's a really good team with really good pitching, some thump in the middle of that lineup. Jose Ramirez is probably a top 5 MVP vote getter. So that that's the 7-game stretch against Cleveland where I think things could really go topsy-turvy. If they come out of that like 1-6, 2-5 right. against Cleveland, we're looking at a very different conversation. but okay. I mean, if you win 4-7, I think you're going to be sitting pretty okay. And I don't think Tampa or Baltimore are going to be able to really scare you too much to where this team is very worried about falling out of the playoff picture.
So like me and Stacey were talking earlier, this team is not the Yankees. They don't have the lineup that they have. They're not going to spend the money that they have. So for them to be that 500 team, what couple guys need to step up and contribute a bit more?
From the lineup perspective, I think one guy is, and he's contributed in the few games he's been there, Mitch Haniger, and you know, everybody talked about like, oh well, he's their big off, you know, he's their big deadline addition from a bat perspective. Obviously, yes and no, because not technically, but I think Mitch Haniger does add a different element to this lineup than with him being out. Unfortunately, a guy that they were counting on who just has not worked out over the last few weeks is Kyle Lewis. 4-for-41 since he came back from the injury, striking out nearly half of the time over his last 13, 10 Ks. If Kyle is going to be able to stay on the roster as some of these guys come back, I think he has the talent, if he can shake off the rust, to absolutely be an impact bat the rest of the way. It's just a matter of how patient can this team be, not just from injury perspective. He does not look very comfortable in the outfield. He does not look very comfortable running to first base. But if he can shake off the rust a little bit, be that DH type, hit the ball out of the ballpark, and just be like a 230, 240 hitter, I think that's enough to add just a little bit more to this lineup.
I don't know that I am, but I've seen this question, so I'm forwarding it your way. Should I be nervous about Logan Gilbert?
I would say no. Not yet. I think that he pitched very, very, very well against the Astros, and they, like the Yankees, have a very phenomenal lineup. And the Astros, in some ways, are a tougher lineup than the Yankees because they just don't swing and miss. That's just such a tough team to get out. And Gilbert was really solid against those guys in his first two outings. The Yankees, I mean, it was just too many instances of he's trying to get to his glove side away from right-handed hitters with his fastball and just leaving it arm side, not really getting through the baseball. I don't think that's necessarily like a tired thing. I don't think that's a fatigue thing because the velocity's still there. The breaking balls are still sharp. I haven't seen anything to believe that he's kind of slowing down. I could definitely see where the team might be a little cautious. Maybe he is the piggyback guy with George Kirby instead of Marco Gonzalez, like a lot of us thought. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that they're in a situation quite yet where they need to make that sort of leap.
All year we've been seeing a shuffle in this lineup, and there have been a couple guys that we would think if something were to happen, they'd be the first guys gone.
Yeah.
One of those guys was Sam Haggerty at some point.
He's been balling, right,
exactly now. So he's established himself in this lineup. What is he? What are you seeing out of him that has allowed him? I think he's batting .400 in the month of August right now. What are you seeing from him?
Yeah, I mean he's a guy who never really hit the ball very hard. I think he's just making more, just you know, as simple as it is, just more hard contact. He's hitting more line drives, and he's just such a spark plug. He's a fast player. I mean, even when he's not hitting the ball hard, I mean, I was at a game recently where little jam shot that he hits right over the third baseman, he ends up on second base because he's up there with Julio as the fastest guys on the team, and he can play all over the diamond. So, yeah, just total spark plug type guy, making a lot of contact, not striking out a whole ton. And I think that just his versatility, his speed, he's not just a fast base runner. I think he's a really smart base runner. That adds a lot to this team, and I know that this is an organization that loves Dylan Moore, and Dylan Moore's about to be back. So if you were thinking of a one-to-one swap, you might not need Dylan Moore back because Sam Haggerty's played so well and can do a lot of the same things.
We got some questions on the Mac and Jack's text line, 206-421-3776 from Donovan and Everett. What are they going to do with Torrens? Isn't he out of options?
Yeah, that's going to be the tough thing because Luis Torrens, he hit his first home run of the year the other day. That was really awesome to see. It looked kind of like 2021 Luis Torrens hitting it to right center, going the other way with it. But yeah, he's out of minor league options, and Kurt Casale's a guy that they traded for at the deadline, and I think that that's going to be a good addition to this team because Casale's hit better than Torrens this year, and a lot of people forget this. He caught with the Reds for 3 years. He knows Luis Castillo very, very, very well, and that's also going to give Cal Raleigh a breather because Raleigh's not been hitting well these last 2-3 weeks. So I think that, yeah, with Torrens, I mean, you're going to have to DFA him. That's the only option, and I'm sure that this is a team that they're going to be hoping that he clears waivers and that they can get him down to AAA. Who knows, because, you know, just decent catching, MLB-ready catching, that's a fairly hot commodity.
Luis Castillo is going to see the Yankees for the third time in his last like five starts or something like that. How difficult is that for a pitcher to see those guys so frequently?
Yeah, that's one of the fun things with baseball. It's just it's like timing and adjustments. I mean, they've seen him a few times. He's seen them a few times. So one thing that I'm really looking for this time out that he didn't have the last time out was the changeup, because the changeup is most of the time his best pitch. I think he threw it 15 times last time out and only got five swings and misses with it, or just five swings in general. I think he only got one swing and miss with it on a strikeout to Donaldson. So having that changeup be a little bit better for him, even though it is a right-handed heavy lineup, and they typically right-handed pitchers use that against lefties, but that's such a weapon for him. I think if he's able to have the good changeup, then that really helps put things in his favor.
All right, we got to make this one quick, but okay. I'm going to let the 541 have the final question here. Should we be worried about JP? He's not hitting well and more errors are piling up.
No, I think JP's fine, and I think that JP is starting as they are getting some of these bats back, and with Julio back, JP's hitting more where he should be in the lineup. He should be hitting more at the bottom, 7, 8, 9. It was awesome what he did in April and May, where he's hitting 2, 3, 4 for them. That was never JP Crawford. he was punched above his weight a little bit, but as far as him in the field, I wouldn't be too worried about it. He's fine.
All right, don't forget, you can always connect with the show on the Mac and Jack's text line at 206-421-3776. He is Brandon Gustafson. He is a wonderful, wonderful follow for any Mariners fan at the B Gustafson, correct?
That's right.
And then obviously read his work at seattlesports.com. But hey, listen, if you are a Seahawks fan and you're like, I kind of care about the Mariners, I watch them, but I really want to know how training camp is going, Brandon's also your guy. He's going to have stuff from the preseason game. He live tweets from all of that stuff. So he's got you covered with all Seattle sports. Make sure you're reading his work at seattlesports.com. Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, thanks, Ash.
All right, it's Bump and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. We are going to get to Seahawks' new depth chart released ahead of the first preseason game. That's coming up in 20 minutes. Before we get to it, though, Mariners roster crunch time, a.k.a. what do you do about Kelnick and Lewis? That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, the Mariners roster crunch is on its way. We got a number of players about to be activated. What does it mean for Jared Kelnick? What does it mean for Kyle Lewis? What does it mean for any of these other guys? Here's what we're looking at here. Julio Rodriguez, he is going to be activated. He's eligible to come back tomorrow, though we've heard kind of mixed feedback from Scott Service about whether or not he's ready. Initially, the team sounded very optimistic. It since sounds like maybe Julio's still dealing with some pain, some discomfort. So, again, all eyes on the roster on Wednesday to see if he comes back. But I'm sure we'll hear more from Scott, if not today, with us, Bump, at 1, then certainly post-game tonight when he's asked by reporters about an update. So, Julio, Dylan Moore, Diego Castillo coming back, Taylor Trammell coming back from that hamstring injury. Also, you've got Ken Giles making his way back, Matt Boyd. So who are some of the corresponding moves? And the more important question is, who should be and why?
Man, your guess is as good as mine. Honestly, man, because we just talked to BG and I mentioned Haggerty.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, I would have been like, all right, Haggerty's the guy.
Right.
Maybe even Dylan Moore. Maybe he's the guy. But you look at the guys who have not been, I guess, producing like we'd like JP's been struggling a little bit. There's no way you're getting rid of JP, right?
Nope.
There's no way you're making that move. Mitch Haniger just came back. Carlos Santana, he hasn't been playing great baseball as of late. We're going to see where they value guys right now. I think that because everyone's getting healthy, because you got Castillo, Trammell, Giles, Boyd, all these guys coming, Julio's going to be there. We're going to see who is valued. But right now, if I'm looking at this, the starting lineup, I would have said Adam Frazier a month ago, but he's playing some decent baseball as of late. Kyle's been struggling, but there's no reason, there's no way you're demoting Kyle. You're getting rid of Kyle. Mm-hmm. So you know what? I'd stay with the usual suspects. Haggerty, Demo, and Frazier.
Jared Kelnick, 2 for 18.
Yes. Kyle Lewis, what, 4 for 40 or something like that?
It was Brandon said he was 0 for 13 and something like
with 10 strikeouts.
Jared Kelnick has 5 strikeouts. He's 2 for 18 with 5 strikeouts. He's hitting 111 with a 111 on base percentage, .278 slugging. So slashing 111.
I thought it was interesting, the Bump, you brought up Carlos Santana's name just kind of as maybe an option. And yeah, he has not been hitting well. They made a trade giving up some prospects for him. But Do you think maybe the Mariners front office last year learned that maybe you don't get rid of a clubhouse guy, even if maybe there is a better option available, or at least how they viewed a better option? Because last year we all remember the Kendall Graveman trade, where they traded for Abraham Toro, and the clubhouse, there were guys that kind of revolted after that. There were guys that were like, how dare you trade somebody that means so much to this clubhouse? Carlos Santana and Julio Rodriguez are very tight, as we learned. They work out together in the offseason.
I don't see them getting rid of Santana. He's got power.
I don't
power
see it either.
Me either.
He is your best power bat off the bench. Like, he is the one guy on your bench that can get you a home run if need be in a pinch hitting situation. The guy who I have most confidence in doing that. But he's only, I think he's hitting like 176 in a Mariners uniform, which is less than what he was in a Kansas City uniform. But I think they may have learned something from last year. Like, hey, clubhouse chemistry kind of matters, especially when you're in a pennant race.
Heck yeah, it does. I think it has to be Lewis and Kelenic. Lewis and Kelenic. And Santana, like you mentioned, is more than just a DH guy. He's a dugout guy. He's a clubhouse guy.
Veteran, right?
Veteran, like, experience. And you want to keep your superstar in a good place mentally. Nothing like having a big bro there for him. So, yeah, I'm looking at Kelenic and Lewis.
So from the 509, the guys that get sent down are Lamb and Kelenic and probably Brash. They make the most sense. I can absolutely see Kelenic. If nothing else, I can see Kelenic because they wouldn't want – if Santana continues to struggle, okay. He continues to struggle. Like, you aren't worried about Carlos Santana's development when he's 36 years old. Jared Kelenic, on the other hand, you're like, all right, is this going to continue to crush his confidence? We weren't going to bring him up, you know, if we didn't have all these injuries to deal with. Now we got to send him back down. Like, that's kind of my thought process, is like, he wouldn't have been up here in the first place had you not needed him. You don't want him to continue to flounder at this level when there's still some development to be had in AAA.
Yeah, and that's, you always have to do a great job of nurturing your young talent. Kelenic clearly isn't the same type of player as Julio Rodriguez. Mental's different. His approach is different. So each player has their own individual, I guess, case when it comes to how to develop them. So, yeah, I would be concerned about Kelenic's confidence if he were sitting down. But at some point, man, you have to do what's best for the team and not just what's best for that one player who isn't producing at the moment.
425 says, and 206, Lamb doesn't have any options. That would make sense. I was wondering why more people weren't suggesting, but yeah.
Also, they
shout out to
just
the Matt and Jack's text line
for him.
Exactly.
You're going to want to get a better look at Jake Lamb other than the 5 at bats he's had. Like, what can you what do you know about Jake Lamb after 5 at bats?
Nothing.
Everything.
Good point from the Mac and Jack's text line. Y'all are on top of it. Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be Kelenic and Lewis that make the most sense, but Curtis, it's like you mentioned earlier, and you, Bump, and I were talking about this a little bit in the open, but certainly before the show started, which was like, it doesn't feel good if you were to tell us a year ago, yeah, you're going to have Sam Haggerty on the roster, and you're going to make some room for Dylan Moore and some of these utility guys, and the two guys you're gonna, that are going to make the most sense, the most obvious sense to send down are Kyle Lewis and Jared Kelenic.
It's crazy. That's just how the game is. Kyle Lewis with his injuries, Jared Kelenic with his mental. That's what I love about baseball too, is that there's so many games, there's so many series going on. Like, we've changed our opinion on this team at least 5 or 6 times within the last, what, 2 or 3 months. So it's a day by day type of thing, but you have to go with what you're getting at the moment. And at the moment, Kelenic and Lewis aren't producing.
All right, y'all, we've gone Mariners for an hour. We're going to end the show with an hour of Mariners, but we have lots of NFL headlines to get to and lots of Seahawks headlines to get to. First things first, don't forget, if you haven't heard, the Seattle chapter of WISE, that's Women in Sports and Events, wants to recognize a woman in our community through a new program called the Women of Inspiration Award. So if you know a woman who gives her all to the sports and events community, it's time to celebrate her. You can learn more at womenofinspiration.org, where you can nominate a woman who inspires. Nominations are accepted through this Friday. All right, then it's done through this Friday. So do not wait. It's Bump and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Coming up next, let's jump to Seahawks here, starting with this question. Out of the woodwork, has the ship sailed, really, on Jimmy G?